You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, it's Victory Friday, the first win of the season in the first game for manager Stephen Vogt and the Cleveland Guardians. They come away with an 8-0 victory on the back of Shane Bieber and his dominant 6-inning performance on the mound. Pretty much went exactly to script for Cleveland as to how they had hoped that game would go.
Yeah, Shane Bieber couldn't have been much better, Joe. Strikes out six guys in the first three innings, you know, works around two kind of soft singles, and then just rolls from there for six innings, 11 strikeouts, and the bullpen comes in and completes the four-hit shutout. Just a dominant performance by Bieber, and another great performance by him on opening day. He has a 0.96 ERA in five opening day starts, Joe. He has 44 strikeouts in less than 30 innings in those starts. So opening day, maybe they should just rename it Shane Bieber Day.
There you go. It was his third double-digit strikeout performance in his career on opening day. Only Randy Johnson has more with four. And if Shane Bieber's going to get to four on opening day, it could possibly be in another uniform. We don't know. That's a storyline we're going to be tracking for most of the first half of this season. But as far as his reaction after the game, what sense did you get from him that, you know, he was happy, comfortable, you know, feeling like the Shane Bieber that we expect to see every time he goes out there?
Yeah, he was definitely happy. He was happy, one, for, you know, pitching the way he did. Two, for getting Stephen Vogt his first managerial win in his debut with the Guardians. And three, I think he kind of unveiled a new pitch. And not a new pitch, Joe, but, you know, a pitch that has kind of been bedeviling him for the last, he said, decade, his changeup. And he was able to throw that, I think, a lot more than he usually does. You know, he worked on it in spring training, and the results were really good last night. And I think it's given him a new pitch, or a revived pitch. And I think it all goes back to his increased velocity and the gap now between the changeup and the fastball.
Right. Yeah. And with that pitch, with that changeup, the whole key is having confidence in that pitch. If you're not confident in what that pitch is going to do, where you're going to throw it, where you can throw it and command it and make it do what it needs to do, you're not going to be effective with it. And Shane Bieber can be effective, you know, with his curveball, slider, fastball command. He can dominate that way anytime he wants. But if he can pitch to four quadrants of the strike zone, and you're talking about a pitch that, you know, runs away arm side with that changeup and moves to the into a right-handed batter and, you know, away to a left-handed batter. You're talking, you know, cutters the way they move, sliders and curveballs the way he can command those. But having that pitch be able to move in another direction and conquer sort of another quadrant of the strike zone for him, that makes him, you know, one of those pitchers. He joins that level of being unhittable at times, and he looked it last night. Now, granted, I think there was a lot of commentary and a lot of discussion online about, oh, he's doing this against the A's. It's like a AAA lineup and this and that. Yeah. You still got to do that against a major league lineup.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, the A's, yeah, they struggled last year. I mean, 112 losses. You know, you can't hide from that. But it's still, you know, that's still, they've got some good hitters in that lineup. Seth Brown has 6 career home runs against Cleveland. You know, it's a young lineup, but still, you know, so are the Guardians. And but I thought Bieber did a great job last night, and I think he would have pitched like that against no matter who was out there.
And he was out after the 6th inning. You know, no argument, no pushback there. Obviously, it's early; it's the first start of the season. You don't need to max him out. He wasn't going for a no hitter. He wasn't going for any strikeout record or anything like that. No argument from with Stephen Vogt in terms of pulling him out when he did.
Oh no, nothing like that. He threw 83 pitches. Vogt said that was just about at his you know, pitch limit, and he wanted to see some relievers. This is a great way to get in, you know, to have all you get your bullpen into the season early, you know, and Eli Morgan, Tim Herron, Nick Sandlin all came in with the scoreless innings. So, you know, that was a step in the right direction for those guys too.
Yeah. And, you know, with the no hitter not being in play, obviously after what the third inning there, he goes 7 up, 7 down on strikes. And we're all starting to get nervous. We're all thinking, man. And like you said, the soft line drive, you know, base hit breaks that up, we had predicted it on the podcast, or I had predicted it on the podcast earlier. If it was ever going to happen on opening day, it was last night, and Shane Bieber came darn close.
Yeah, he would. You know, he was really kind of. He was dominant, and you know, he gives up a couple singles early, but just you know, they were like they didn't count almost, you know, and he just kept going, and just 6, you know, 6 quality innings. It didn't look like it wasn't at max effort either. And you know, he's throwing all his pitches. He just, I thought him and Austin Hedges did a great job together. Hedges, you know, kind of got the surprise start, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if those two are paired up, you know, for the foreseeable future, Joe. I mean, Vogt said before the game that he isn't a fan of a pitcher having a personal catcher, but in 2022, Bieber's last, you know, healthy season, you know, Hedges was behind the plate, and I believe 28 of his 31 or 32 starts, and, you know, he came close. He threw 200 innings that year, came close to 200 strikeouts, and Hedges was saying last night, you know, he's with the changeup that Bieber has adjusted, you know, now the league has to adjust to him.
Yeah, and that's Vogt saying he doesn't really favor the idea of a personal catcher, but you know, if Bieber favors the idea of a personal catcher, then I think maybe you got to go with him. Whose opinion matters more in that situation? I think you're likely to see Austin Hedges, you know, line up with Bieber and the majority of his starts moving forward, and I would not be surprised about that. And that really, you know, that brings us to the offense, and I was not expecting 8 runs and 11 hits. You know, a big night at the plate for the Guardians. Really, the 4th inning was the key there. But right off the bat, Stephen Vogt in his managerial debut, his first lineup that he puts together, this right-handed lineup against a left-handed starter. And it really paid dividends there in the 2nd inning when David Fry and Tyler Freeman are the guys who, you know, hit the back-to-back doubles and score the first run. It really felt like Stephen Vogt was pushing the right buttons.
Yeah, and, you know, he was asked about that after the game, and he said, you know, Fry and Freeman can hit left-handed pitching. That's why they were in there. And Joe, we know from watching this club last season how they struggled against left-handed starters. In particular, last year they were 24-35 in games started by lefties. And you know, Alex Wood, who's the Oakland starter last night, had thrown 14 2/3 scoreless innings against Cleveland going into the game, and that streak ended, you know, kind of resoundingly with Fry and Freeman hitting consecutive doubles in the second inning there.
How excited was Freeman? You know, he looked like he was pretty pumped up after that RBI double in the second. But just to be out there and be a part of everything the way he was, and to make his first career start in center field.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a strange transformation, or I guess not strange, but, you know, you don't see that every day. You don't see an infielder moving from, you know, shortstop or third base or a utility role to what could be the starting job in center field and what looks like the starting job in center field. And he was excited, Joe. He was fired up, and I liked the way he went back on a couple balls to center field. He looked comfortable out there. But he, you know, he swung the bat well with authority. And then after, you know, in the big fourth, you know, the five-run fourth inning, he was hit by a pitch. And that kind of, you know, that played into that rally as well.
Yeah, and talking about looking comfortable at the plate, David Fry, is this a guy who's maybe going to be sort of the key to Cleveland's lineup against left-handed hitting? If he's going to be in there left-handed pitching, if he's going to be in there every game that there's a lefty on the mound in some way, shape, or form, and he can produce like he did last night, what, three hits, two doubles? I mean, he was smoking the ball off the bat. Exit velocities over 100 miles an hour on all three of his hits. You know, what do you like out of what David Fry was able to do when the lineup came out and we saw him at DH? You know, I think a lot of people were scratching their heads, but you know, it turns out that was kind of perfect.
Yeah, that was a big move by Vogt, and you know, he had a good spring, Joe. And as you saw last year, and I saw last year, this guy can swing the bat when you give him a chance. I think Terry Francona saw that. That's why, you know, he kept going to him in different roles. He's adaptable. You know, he can catch. He can play first base. He can play the outfield. But what really he helps balance that lineup. And he went 3-for-3 last night, his first three hit game in the big leagues. Had a sacrifice fly in the ninth inning when they scored their final two runs. Yeah, it's just a good all around game. And, you know, they have a championship belt now, like a WWE belt with a Cleveland Guardians belt. And it was in his locker after the game. So I guess he earned that.
There you go. He's from the top rope, David Fry, coming in hot. And they did this all with Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez in the at the top of the lineup, and really for that matter, you know, Josh Naylor, Ramon Laureano as well, really not producing much until, you know, Kwan and Ramirez didn't you know, get their hits until the ninth inning when they scored a couple of runs that were just sort of add on runs. So really got nothing out of the engine that sort of drives that offense. In the first couple of frames, it was really that the bottom half of that lineup that was, you know, really coming through and producing.
Yeah, you know, in the fourth inning, you know, Josh Naylor did have a double to start that rally. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You know, like Fry, Freeman, Jimenez, even Hedges and Rocchio really, you know, came through and really ignited that five run. Fourth inning, they kept the chains moving and the line moving, I should say, and you know, it produced one of their first five run inning in an opener since I believe 2018. So you know, you can win a lot of games if you're going to score five runs in an inning.
Yeah, that definitely helps. I think Stephen Vogt would take a five run inning anytime, and that was not without some controversy in that inning with the. We've already seen our first, you know, questionable, you know, scoring change or whatever on the Austin Hedges ground ball that you know, resulted in an infield hit, and ultimately was an infield hit and an error charge to the first baseman. What'd you think about that ball that that Hedges was able to kick out of the first baseman's glove, went over by second base?
Yeah, I know Hedges was happy after the game. He said he kept looking up at the board. Was that a hit or an error? A hit or an error? He goes, you know, I can go a long time without a hit. So he was happy when they flashed hit up on the scoreboard. But yeah, it was kind of a strange play. It was originally called an obstruction and an error, and then it was changed a couple other times. And finally, they just called it a straight error on the first baseman. And gave Hedges a hit and an RBI, and the second run scored on the air.
All right. I want to remind our listeners, if you're tuned in here, the best way to get updates throughout the day with Hoynsey on the West Coast watching everything that's going on with the Guardians is to sign up for Guardian Subtext. It's $3.99 a month throughout the season, actually year-round, and you can sign up by going to cleveland.com/subtext. Or by sending a text message to subscribe at 216-208-4346. Hoynsey, we talk about this sort of the idea that Stephen Vogt has about building a lineup that day to beat that day's starting pitcher for the opposing team. And really, you look at the lineup that he put together yesterday and that sort of that accomplished that goal and then some. With Ross Stripling, a right-hander scheduled to be on the mound today, what do you expect, and what do you think Stephen Vogt's going to put together? And also, you got to figure the idea. It's the second game of the season. They might want to get as many guys a chance to play within that first couple of games as possible. Do you expect to see some new faces in that lineup, despite the successes of guys like David Fry and Tyler Freeman in the first game?
Yeah, I would think, obviously you're going to see Bo Naylor in there tonight, left-handed hitter. He's going to catch. Vogt said that, obviously he went with Hedges because of the connection with Bieber, but he also felt, like you were saying, Joe, that it gave them the best chance to win, and especially of the best chance to beat the starter. But he said, he's thinking like 10, 15 days down the road. So he is, Bo's not going to play every day. Hedges isn't going to play every day, but he's just trying to, fit them in the lineup where they help themselves and they help the team.
Yeah, it's more like playing chess than playing checkers at this point in the season. You got to think the long game at that point. But I would not be surprised to see, Ramirez in the three hole, Naylor, maybe Josh Naylor drop down to four. And you could have, three different guys in that lineup. You could have Florial in center field. You'd have Brennan in right and Bo behind the plate. That makes that lineup very left-handed heavy, but also sort of changes things. And these are guys that do things differently. I'd also wonder if maybe if you keep Fry at DH, or maybe put Gabriel Arias at DH. Arias is a guy who has reverse splits against right-handed pitching.
Right, Joe. And then you've got your right-handed hitters to bring off the bench. You've got Fry. You've got Freeman if Florial is starting in center field. You've got Laureano if, Will Brennan is in right field. So it's kind of it's a well-balanced. They've got some balance in this lineup. I don't know if it's well-balanced, but, there's some balance has, been put into this lineup. And it's going to be, I think Vogt has a lot of options.
Yeah, that's important to see that, be the case there. All right. Not only was it opening day for the Guardians, but opening day for the Athletics and really sort of a surreal situation with Stephen Vogt, a sort of a hero there in Oakland, coming back to manage his first game for the opposition. But also there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of questions about whether this will be the final opening day in Oakland at the Coliseum in front of those fans. And there were planned protests outside the stadium and, not a lot of fans inside the stadium. I think when we all saw the first shots from inside the stadium, we were like, where's the crowd? Can you count how many people were there? That kind of thing. But the attendance announced at 13,522 there at the game. Obviously, a pretty low number there, but there were quite a few people in the parking lot holding signs, holding rallies, you know, shouting into bullhorns and all that. Looked like it was a bigger party outside the stadium than it was inside. Hoynes, what did you take away from just the environment and the scene there on opening day in Oakland?
Yeah, Joe, I thought there was not too, inside the ballpark, it was pretty calm. You know, you heard some, you know, some shouts and different kind of chants going up. And, you know, I think they were directed toward the ball club, not toward, I mean, to the organization, to the, you know, to the move coming up here. What, they're going to move to Las Vegas in 2028. So I think there was some protest that way, but it was pretty quiet in the ballpark. There was a lot of security. I know when I was coming into the ballpark, you know, usually there's a gate I go through connected to the BART station, and they weren't letting people through unless you showed your ID, and that's very unusual, you know. And then you saw, you know, the security guys with the dogs sniffing around the perimeter of the ballpark. So there was a lot of you know, I think that there was more security than usual. And yeah, and I know, like you said, Joe, there was a lot going on in the parking lot during the games.
Yeah, you know, just to good to know that you were pretty much insulated from any of that. I just I'm worried about two things. I'm worried about you know, the fan interaction there, and I'm worried about the possum in the press box. Those are the two things that worry me the most about you being out there. But hopefully we'll get you on to Seattle in much, much friendlier confines by the end of the weekend. So, all right, Hoynesy, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We will check back in with you Monday from Seattle. And, you know, really, hopefully by then we're talking about a Guardians team that you know, has finished the job there in Oakland. Good first step on opening night.
Yeah, they've got three more to play, Joe, so we'll see how that works out.
All right, we'll talk to you then, Hoynesy.